Whenever we think of China, it reminds me of the story of a man by the name of John Stott. John Stott, we've heard of, and in recent years written many books, and theologian and so forth from England. But George Stott lived away back in the 1800s. I think it was about 1880. He applied for the China Inland Mission. Hudson Taylor, who founded the China Inland Mission, was at home and went to meet with George Stott. But the amazing thing about George Stott was he only had one leg. Whenever he was 19 years of age, he had an accident on the farm at home. He was from Scotland, and 2 years later, the leg had to be amputated. And it was a number of years later that he felt God challenging him to go to China, and Hudson Taylor met with him, obviously had his concerns. And he asked him the question, he said, George, he says, why do you want to go to China? Here's what George said. He says, I want to go because, he says, why with one leg do you want to go to China? He says, I want to go because, I don't see those with two legs going. He was accepted into the China Inland Mission. He went to a place called Wenzhou. The province of Wenzhou, there was no church whatsoever. But I'm told that if you go to Wenzhou now, there's about 600,000 believers in Wenzhou, all because George Stott, with one leg, went because he was challenged that he didn't see those with two legs going to serve the Lord. What a challenge. And indeed, we think of the task that's unfinished and the gifts that God has given to us, the abilities that God has given to us to go and to serve him. I want to finish just very, very briefly. I know time has gone. You're probably watching the clock and thinking, well, time is up. It is. It's 7:31. But just to finish with one little phrase this evening. Don't need to turn to it. It's found in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. Jonah was in a deep experience in life. Jonah was in trouble because he was in the belly of the great fish. Then what we read in Jonah chapter 2, maybe tonight you're somebody and you've come here, and I don't know your circumstances, maybe nobody else knows your circumstances, but maybe you're in the depths of some terrible experience. But what is it he said in verse 9? He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of giving, or thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. But then he says these words, and how key they are, salvation is of the Lord. What a lovely statement from Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. No doubt he was talking about his own physical experience and being delivered from, well, his disobedience to God. Because we know he was commanded by God to go to Nineveh. He ran from God. He ended up in the belly of this great fish. And yet what we know is, well, in the next verse it says, the Lord spake unto the fish and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land, and he experienced salvation in the physical sense, but yet in the spiritual context, what a lovely statement, because that's what we've been singing about. We've been singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who is able to save from sin. Really tonight, as we just close with this little phrase, five words, salvation of the Lord, we ask the question, well, why, or what's so wonderful about it? Well, we see it's so great. Isn't that what Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, how shall we escape so great salvation? It's a great salvation. Why is it a great salvation? Why tonight is our prayer that you would be saved tonight? Why tonight is this message being preached that you would come to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would turn from your sin and be saved tonight? Well, the reason we do this, and the reason why we seek to proclaim this, not only here, but across the world tonight. And so many people have gone out from churches in Northern Ireland, from all over the world, going to other parts of the world, proclaiming the gospel message. Why do we do this? Well, it's because of the so great salvation that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's so great because he's the only one that can lift a sinner from the broad road that has taken them to hell and set them on the road that leads home to heaven. He's the only one. He's the only one that can do this tonight. You see, tonight we hear about all these other religions, but understand tonight, Jesus Christ is the only one who is alive. He is risen from the dead. He has conquered sin. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered Satan. He has conquered hell. And tonight, the wonderful thing is, he's at the right hand of the Father, and there he's able to save to the uttermost, save completely all who come unto God by him. There's nobody else can do this. No other religious founder, no other religious leader can do this whatsoever tonight. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we proclaim him, because you see, he died in our place upon the cross. He was the one who went up onto that center cross, died there in our stead, took upon himself all the punishment that we deserve for our sins, and tonight he's the only one who's then able to save us from our sins. Salvation is of the Lord. It's so great. But then what we also see in the Word of God is that salvation, it's a gift. It's a gift. Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, that's the wonderful thing about it tonight. You don't have to work for your salvation. That's what the world is filled with in these days. And isn't that what we find in all the religions of the world? It's people who are trying to do what? Who are trying to earn their way into heaven. The human mind so much thinks, well, I have to do something. Surely I have to pay something, or I have to try and achieve this. And yet, what is it the Word of God tells us? It's a gift. And what is a gift? It's something we don't pay for. Christmas time, I'm sure you got lots of gifts. Birthday time, maybe you get gifts. I wonder this evening, I would well imagine that nobody at Christmas time or whatever has been given this parcel, and maybe all it's all wrapped up, and said to the person who's given it to them, how much do I owe you? We don't do that. Because we know it's a gift. And a gift to us is free. And isn't that so wonderful about the Lord Jesus Christ, about what God wants to give to you tonight? The gift of God, which is eternal life. And that's what he wants you to receive tonight. He doesn't ask you to come and to pay anything or to do anything so that you can, as it were, earn points so that you get this for free. Because you see, it was on the center cross that Jesus paid it all. Whenever he died in your place and he died in my place, you see, he laid down his life. That's what God demanded for us, for any of us ever to be saved. And his son paid the price in full. You see, upon that center cross, Jody cried out. He cried out three beautiful words. In our English, it is finished. And he cried that out because, you see, he had paid the price in full. Salvation is of the Lord. It's so great. But what we see is it's a gift. And tonight God is giving it to you. But will you receive it? But then what we see thirdly and finally is that we see it's by grace. It's by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is grace? Well, grace is very simple. It's undeserved kindness. You know what we deserve tonight? Every single one of us? We deserve hell. That's the reality of it all tonight. We all are sinners. We all have sinned against God. And every single one of us is deserving of hell. But isn't it amazing tonight that God, well, 2,000 years ago roughly, what is it he did? He sent his Son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing that God, as he looked in this world and all he saw was sin, and he sent forth his only Son so that he could go up onto the cross of Calvary and open the life gate that we all could go in. You see, that's undeserved kindness. We don't deserve it. What we deserve is hell, but praise God tonight that God and his love has made it possible for us to be saved. Many of us, how tonight we rejoice that we are saved. We rejoice that we can look back to that day whenever we bowed by faith. We just simply said to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Asked him to save us from all of our sins, and what a blessing. I would say the only regret that many of us have is this. We didn't do it earlier in life. So great is his salvation. No, tonight as Jonah, well, he was in the belly of a whale, he was delivered. But he could say that he was saved from that terrible circumstance. But oh, more importantly, we'd be saved from hell, from eternal torments. And salvation is of the Lord because he's the one who died in our place. And indeed, he's the only one who is able to save us from all of our sins. Can I ask you tonight, have you come to Jesus? Or is it your trusting in good works, your church attendance, or whatever? Realize tonight the Word of God tells us that all our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. Nobody likes filthy rags. And as God looks upon your righteousnesses, that's all he sees is but as filthy rags. And if you're not trusting in Jesus, you'll never be in heaven. But how wonderful tonight that you can be saved, because it is so great, because it is a gift, and because it is by grace. May tonight, if you don't know him, you put your trust in him before you leave.